we are going to preach. I really felt that word today. I'm almost ready to preach on it, but I'm not. I'll preach on it a little while later. But what Pastor Friani was speaking about, the demonic realm, is that you need to take that very, very seriously about what problems you face in life. You need to be spiritual, because Jesus, there was three portions of his ministry. He preached the word, he cast out demons, and he healed the sick. A third of his ministry in the Gospel of Mark is about demons. And demons are real. Demons attack your family. They attack your friends. They attack your children. They attack your health. And if you're not spiritually minded, you'll apply natural remedies that don't work. And one of the things that I had the pleasure of going to India recently, we met with a spiritual leader up there, a guy called Pastor Rendeep Matthews. I said, what do you notice the difference between the church in the West? Because he goes to America, he came out here. What do you think the big difference is between the church in India and the church in the West? And he said, the church in the West is so spiritually blind. He said, so many problems. He says, I go into churches in the West and he says, I'm asked to pray for people. And I'll say, it's that spirit. That's that demon needs to be cast out. And the pastor says, oh, no, you can't say that. You know, the person needs medication, or it's this, that, or the other. And it needs to see a psychiatrist or something like that. And he says, the problem is, he says, that the church in India is going like wildfire because they see things spiritually for what they really are. So we really have to be humble and ask God to actually, when things are going wrong, to show us what the root is. Show us what is happening. Because if we ask him, he will. But there are many, many, many places where, in the scriptures, where Jesus said there's a problem. And they said the problem was, it's demonic. And I think of the woman who was bent over with, her back was bent over, she couldn't stand up. And Jesus says the reason was that it was a spirit of infirmity. It wasn't a back ailment, it wasn't a sickness, it wasn't a disease. It was actually a spirit that was bending her over. And that spirit bent her over, so she had no vision. All she ever did was see the dust. It was not just physical, she didn't see the glory of God. That demon had bent her whole life, but Jesus came and set her free. And so a lot of things you've got to actually ask, what is going on spiritually? What is the devil doing? Where is Satan involved in all this and all his minions? Because we love to believe in angels and all the goodness and all the glory of God, but we're slow to believe that Satan has a whole realm of fallen angels called demons who he sends to war against us constantly, 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 to oppress us, to afflict us, to stop us, to delay us. So many things are caused by demons. I think I will preach on it. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. I'm just going to look at the scriptures today and I just feel to go down this path, and I feel God today wants to open our eyes up to something that maybe some people here, you got an issue going on in your life. Put your finger there and then also go to Luke chapter 12, chapter 13. I'm going to read two passages. The first passage is about in Mark chapter 5, somebody who was, we'd say today, cutting themselves. They had an issue with cutting themselves, self-harm. This fellow was, it says in verse 4, he had often been bound with shackles and chains. They pulled the shackles apart. No one could restrain him, and he lay there day and night in the tombs, crying out, cutting himself with stones. So there's somebody who's self-harming, and often we'd say, well, is there a reason for this, or is there a reason for that? But sometimes the reason is spiritual. And then when Jesus came, he saw him afar, he ran and worshipped him, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, what I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. And he said, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he said, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains, all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. And the herd ran violently down the hill into the sea and drowned itself in the sea. So those who fed the swine, they told it in the city and the country. They went out to see what it was that had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who told it to them, how it happened to him, had been demon-possessed, and about the swine began to plead with him to depart from their region. Isn't that interesting that here is a passage where a fellow who is demonized, he is tormented by demons, and demons, you see, are called unclean spirits. They bring uncleanness into your life. They can bring uncleanness sexually. They can bring uncleanness in your health. They can bring all sorts of uncleanness. These unclean spirits were causing him to be bound. He was living in tombs. He wanted to be isolated. He didn't want to do relationships with people. He was living in the tombs alone. He was withdrawn. And he was self-harming. And the reason was a spirit. But I praise God, when somebody starts to cry out in their torment, Jesus hears. And Jesus came, even though it was just one man, Jesus came all the way over the sea in a boat, went through a storm with his disciples to get them, because he hears the cry of the afflicted and the tormented. And Jesus came, and we see the demons knew who Jesus was. The demons know who Jesus is. When he saw, he ran and worshipped him. That's the man. But then with a loud voice, the demons from within him cried out, what I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I implore you, don't torment me. See, demons know how to afflict people. Demons know how to imprison people, because the three works of Satan is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what they want to do. But Jesus came with only one purpose to people that are tormented by demonic things, is that to set them free. And demons know how to torment people, but they also know that Jesus Christ has authority over them. Jesus Christ has authority over every demon. Every demon Jesus has authority over. And so even though there was a legion here, at the command of Jesus, when Jesus told them to go into the pigs, immediately, it says immediately, they obeyed the command of Jesus, they obeyed the name of Jesus, and they went into the pigs. It was a violent demonstration. The pigs was, I got real respect for the man who was demonized, because he was in such a bad way. He was so tormented. When they went into the pigs, the first thing the pigs did was commit suicide. They ran in and drowned themselves. But this guy had all those demons in him, and he didn't suicide. He put up with it. He held on until Jesus came for him. Jesus set him free. And the demons knew Jesus had the authority to do that. That's why every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, on heaven and under heaven, that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Jesus set this man free, and I like the end of this story. It's a beautiful, spectacular picture of the deliverance that Jesus brings to the tormented. Somebody's crying out, and you think this just relates to first century Palestine. There are people, we've ministered to many people over the years who have been afflicted and tormented with mental illness and been certain places and nobody can help them, but they've come for ministry, and at the name of Jesus they've been set free many, many times. Particularly early in this church, we had many demonized people who would come to the church for deliverance, and their problems were demonic, but Jesus set them free. So we rejoice because Jesus Christ has authority over demons, that Jesus Christ has victory over demons, that though demons be real, they know their knee must bow when the name of Jesus is mentioned. If we go to Luke chapter 13. You see the woman there. I like the fact that in Mark chapter 5, at the end of the passage, you see the people come. And when they see the spectacular deliverance, what's really interesting, it must have been so loud when the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs and the pigs ran down and drowned themselves. It was so loud, it was so demonstrative. Their little inlet was disturbed and they said they were afraid and they asked Jesus to leave. A lot of churches are like that today. If you minister in the demonic, they don't mind Johnny being the way he is, but they don't want the apple cart to be upset. They don't want anything spectacular. They don't want anything to be cast out of anybody. They just want us to have a nice social club. But sometimes, even in a healing meeting here, we've had situations where things get stirred up, but we'd rather have people freed than people bound in torment. So this other woman came. She was teaching in one of the synagogues of the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Imagine that. 18 years she comes to church and she's got a spirit. 18 years she comes, same condition, goes in and out of church, nobody ever does anything. Into the synagogue, out of the synagogue. And she's tormented. And the reason she's tormented, it's demonic. And she was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. I think that's so profound. What does the demonic want to do? It wants to bend you over and it wants to stop you being raised up to the full stature of who you are in Christ. The demonic realm, Satan wants to stop you lifting yourself up. He wants to bend you over. She's just looking at the ground all the time. Just look at the soil all the time. Just look at the ants all the time. She had no vision for her life. She had no capacity to see the glory of God and the great plan of God had for her life. And the reason was a spirit. And Jesus came to her and said, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid a hand on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. And Jesus said to them, "You hypocrites, don't each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought this not woman who being a daughter of Abraham whom Satan had bound..." Think of it, for 18 years be loose from this bond on the Sabbath. He was very annoyed that she'd been bound and that nothing had been done about it for 18 years, and the reason Satan had bound her. And she'd come into church and come out of church the same way. And when he said these things and the adversaries are put to shame, all the multitude rejoice for all the glorious things that were done by him. So that was a time where somebody came into the synagogue and they were tormented, they were bent over, they couldn't raise themselves up. The reason was that Satan had bound her. Satan had tied her life up. Satan had stopped her being raised up to the full stature, coming into the good plans that God had. There was a demon that was assigned from hell against her to stop her life going forward, and the thing had been working for 18 years against her. And suddenly Jesus laid hands on her. He cast the devil out of her. She stood up and all the people started to glorify God because of the change in the woman's life. That's real Christianity. See, what Jesus came, we've got to know primarily, the primary thing Jesus came to do. The very first sermon Jesus ever preached in Luke chapter 4, he didn't say, "I came to give you a healthy doctrine. I didn't come to make you orthodox. I didn't come to make you correct, or there's nothing wrong with those things." He said, "I came to set you free," and he came to set us free. A third of Mark's gospel is setting people free from the demonic. And why it's important is that 2,000 years later, in the Western world, in the Western church, a lot of people's problems A lot of mental illness, I believe. Not all of it, but a lot of mental illness. A lot of sickness has a demonic root. Satan has bound people, and people are believing it's something different than a spirit. And what Jesus wants to do, Jesus wants to be able to identify things spiritually and to set people free. Set people free. Because over the last 2,000 years, I want to tell you something. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has never changed, and he never will change. The demons have never changed, and they never will change. They're just hiding under different names today. But what has changed is the church and how they deal with issues in the West. I remember, this is relevant for us today, and I'm going to take us down a different path now, is that Jesus not only set captives free, but Jesus said, when he sent out the 12, you can read it in Luke chapter 10, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, cast out demons and heal the sick. Casting out demons is supposed to be a major ministry of the church. It's supposed to be a major, identifying problems that are demonic are supposed to be a major ministry of the church. I remember early on in our, when we first moved up here, we had a diagnosis. My daughter, my first daughter, Grace over there, she had this unbelievable, persistent skin disease. And she would go all red and she had these red rashes everywhere. And the doctors were given a cream and they were, I think it was eczema, chronic eczema they were diagnosing and telling us we had to do this and this, that and the other. And one night, early in the morning, the Holy Spirit just woke me and said, it's a spirit. It's a spirit. And it's a spirit of eczema. It's not eczema. And you need to deal with the spirit of eczema. And then we had just gone through all this revelation. And God had just been showing us the authority that we actually really possessed. And what is your authority? I tell you what our authority is. Jesus said in a number of places, in John chapter 15, and you can go to John chapter 14, there's a number of places. He said, if you ask anything in my name, it's not complicated. Anything in my name, I will do it. And I'll do it that my Father will be glorified. Verse 7 of chapter 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. And he goes on to speak about verse 16. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. The name of Jesus is so powerful but unused. But so little used in the way we're meant to use it in the new scriptures. The New Testament knew the authority in the spirit realm they'd be given. The New Testament church in the book of Acts knew that they'd been given authority over demons and over Satan in the spirit realm. And the source of the authority was the name of Jesus. When Jesus said, I give you my name, what he was basically saying, we talk about power of attorney. When I give someone the power of attorney, I give you all the legal rights associated with my name. That's what Jesus did in the spirit realm. And when we invoke the name of Jesus in the spirit realm, demons and angels and sicknesses, they bow. They must bow because of the name that is above every name. And you see it in Acts chapter 3 when Peter healed the man at the gate. How did it happen? He said, and his name, verse 16, through faith in his name has made this man whole. The man was sitting at the gate and he said, I'm begging, and he was a cripple. And I, after silver and gold, and Peter came up to you and said, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And the name of Jesus broke the power of whatever spirit was over him causing his paraplegia. It was broken, and it happened because the name was invoked. If you go to Acts chapter 16, you see where Paul ended up in jail. There's a girl following him with a spirit of divination, and she's following him, and she's wrecking his mission, and she's being manipulated by demons to tell what's going to happen in the futures. And she did, it says in verse 18, she did it for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And he came out that very hour. If we go to Luke chapter 10, Jesus sent out the disciples at the start. These things the Lord anointed 70 others, and he sent them out before his face into the city. This is Luke chapter 10, verse 1. He sent them out on ministry. And it's the same ministry as he sent them out for in chapter 9. Where it says he sent them out and he gave them power and authority over demons to cure diseases. Chapter 9, verse 1. They went out and they had spectacular success. They went into people's homes and people who were afflicted, they were able to heal. People who were demon-possessed, they were able to cast out demons. They were able to set captives free. People whose nightlife were not thriving, they were actually able to do the same ministry and the same work that Jesus did. And when they come back, they were so excited. In verse 70, it says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. In your name. And so what I'm saying is that the passage I read, Jesus not only has authority over every demon. The demonic realm is very real. The demonic realm is very active. Pastor Effiani gave a testimony this morning. A lot of problems are spiritual problems. And we have to, God wants us to know that not only did Jesus have authority and cast them out and the devil have to obey him when he spoke, but when he passed on his name to us, he has given us authority in the spirit realm to deal with those problems. And he wants you to know that if you are sensitive and walk closely with God, he will show you some of the problems you're fighting with. They're spiritual problems. Some of them have been sent from hell. And there are princes and powers being assigned against you. Maybe against your marriage. That's why that's hard. Maybe against your children. Maybe against your health. Maybe against things in your life. There are spiritual powers that are fighting against you. But he also wants you to name, you have been given authority to deal with every problem, that Satan is under your feet if you're in Christ. You're already seated in heavenly places and Satan has already been crushed under your feet, but we need to be people who exercise the authority that we've been given. We need to appropriate the victory that's been won at the cross. And when we come to doing spiritual warfare, we need to know Christ won every victory at the cross. He made a triumph over every demon and power, it says in Colossians 3. And we have been given that victory, so we don't war spiritually for victory, we war from victory. And when we invoke the name of Jesus and we stand against the demonic, we continue to stand against the demonic, we can continue to speak the powers in the name of Jesus. I tell you, sooner or later, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess and your life will change, situations will be different, but you must use what you've been given. What have you been given? You've been given the victory of the cross. Where the Colossians says that he made a spectacle of every power, every demon. He made a spectacle. He defeated them completely. So the battle is already won. But it's like you've got to use the tools to appropriate the victory. Because Satan is still prowling around, but we've been given the tool to appropriate the fact. And the tool that we've been given is the name of Jesus and the Word of God. The Word of God. So you like Pastor Effiani said this morning, he said he was just praying about the problem. God was showing it was a demonic problem. When you actually start to press into God, ask what's really going on. And he said, God's starting to quicken scriptures to him. You know what happens when God starts to quicken scriptures and tell you what the problem is and you start to speak them out? When you start to speak out the scriptures that God is showing you that you need to speak out, the logos becomes rhema. That is, the word becomes a sword. And in the spirit realm, it starts to slash and deal with every power that's coming against your life. And that's why this morning, baby Emmanuel was healed and set free. So I feel God this morning, this is a made-up sermon, but I feel like sometimes, you know, we don't want to be religious and just preach when God, the Holy Spirit's actually wanting to say something to us. That many of our problems today, not every problem, but many problems, they have a spiritual root. That we fight not against flesh and blood. The moment you become a Christian, you fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers that the enemy will periodically assign against you. And he wants you to be aware of the battle you're in. But he also wants to be you to be fully aware of the victory that's been won and the tools and the resources that you've been given. Word of God, name of Jesus, the victory of the cross. That means that you should never be afraid of any power of darkness. Never be afraid of anything the enemy's doing. But know that you are in Christ already, the Bible says. You're already in the resurrection, seated in heavenly places. The battle has been won, but you need to appropriate the battle. Let me get very, very practical. What the Bible says is when you come against the enemy, in the spiritual warfare part of Ephesians 6, it says, stand, and stand again. There's three stands. When the devil is doing something in your life, I want to tell you something. When you start to speak the name of Jesus, in the heavenly realms, God starts to go to work. But sometimes victory doesn't come straight away. You've got to continue to speak it. And stand. And I've always found the third stand never fails. But when you continue to stand and speak to powers, some people are addicted. You're not addicted. There's a spirit of addiction working. You know how I know it? Because some people, they go addicted from alcohol to drugs to women to gambling to whatever. It's a spirit that's working against your life. It's a spirit of addiction. Some people have lust. They can't get free of whatever. It's a spirit of lust you're dealing with. Some people eat. They can't stop eating. It's a spirit of gluttony you're dealing with. And God wants you to be aware that the battle is against the spirit realm, but also that you have victory to change everything the devil's trying to do. You have victory to get completely to free, to walk in complete freedom. You have every tool under heaven that's already been given to you, already been won, and God wants you to be free and free indeed. How are you going to be free? The truth sets you free, and the truth is that some of the problems are demonic. Some of the problems aren't flesh and blood. Everybody's quiet here. Whenever you preach on the demonic in Australia, everybody goes quiet. Nobody wants to hear. But I want to tell you, somebody here this morning needs to hear this. Somebody here this morning needs to hear this. And you don't have to be spectacular. You know, the devil doesn't listen just to me because I'm a pastor. This is what the devil listens to. This is how demons listen. This is how you get free and you keep your home clean of anything demonic. Firstly, you fill it with praise music. Demons hate a household filled with praise. So put praise music on in your house all the time. But secondly, the demonic realms is like this. There's people called the sons of Sceva in the scriptures who tried to cast out demons and they got beat up. Why did they get beat up? It's because they just playing games. They just using the name of Jesus, some sort of magic mantra. But when you read the Word of God, and when you read of the extent of the demonic in the Bible and the authority that Jesus has over them. And you read the Word of God, then he says that I won back authority and I've given that authority to the church. I've passed on that authority to true believers and they will also set captives free. What happens? Your mind starts to get renewed and sooner or later you know in your knower what you know. And the devils know when you know. And when the devils know that you know your authority, when the devils know who you are in Christ, when the devils start to know that you yourself are already seated in heavenly places, you are already got the devil under your foot. When they know that you really know that, every power of darkness lets go of your life. Every power of darkness cannot stay.